The city of Miami Gardens is busier than normal this weekend. Streets are blocked. You can go down one street, not the next. I'm reminded of the preparation and planning that went into what is known as the Miami Grand Prix. Formula One is in town. Why do I share that to a group of men? Well, some of you may be race fans, some of you may not, but there's some principles that we can align with. I saw 8 months ago the preparation, the planning, the literal laying down of a track. Streets were blocked as the big vehicles went by, laying down a track for folks to get on. During the race, these drivers would take pit stops. This is a necessary pit stop today, brothers. A necessary pit stop. There's some characteristics, traits, mindset, more appropriately put, a mindset that we all must have. Deliberate, purposeful, intentional, caring, compassionate, decisive. Let me say that again. Caring. Those men care about those vehicles like it's their own child. It's engineers and this. And they go to pit stops. I mean, 1 second of just, if somebody just doesn't care about, well, yeah, maybe three lug nuts are better than, you get them on quicker than four, you may have some issues. But brothers, when we talk about being decisive, intentional, deliberate, purposeful, compassionate, these are words to remember, because the devil wants nothing more than for us to be apathetic. Not enthused, whatever. The typical teenager, whatever. I don't know if any of you have teenagers. Whatever, you can relate to that. We have to be aware as men, alert as men, mindful as men. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, Peter records, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." God cares. So how can we be unenthusiastic, lacking passion, lacking any type of concern? God cares for us. Be sober, be aware, be diligent, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is being intentional, and the devil has devices. He's malicious. He's aware. He knows. But thank God we're not ignorant of his devices. So this necessary pit stop to fill up, put a little air in our tires, maybe change a little oil. Maybe some of you need a little WD-40. Things don't move like they used to. Again, apathy is a lack of interest. Apathy is a lack of enthusiasm. Apathy is a lack of passion. In contrast to apathy, apologetics, the rational defense of New Testament Christianity using all available tools. Apathy or apologetics? That's what's on the floor today. As children of God, we cannot be apathetic. Galatians chapter 2 and the verses 20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's not an apathetic mindset for my brother Paul. I'm living by faith. There's no room for apathy. What if God had been indifferent toward us? Didn't care. Where would we stand spiritually? What if God lacked the enthusiasm, the passion, the love, the in spite of you agape love? But God has, God does, and God will do his part, brethren. But we're at war. We're at war spiritually in a state of constant readiness. Formula One, those tires, in order for that driver to get to victory lane, before that pit stop is taken, that pit crew is ready. We must have a constant state of readiness because we are at war spiritually. And there's a sense of urgency because we just don't know when Jesus is coming back again. Matthew 24 and the verse is 44. Matthew 24 and the verse is 44. "Therefore be ye also ready." A mindset of readiness. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Apathy is condemned. Neglect is condemned in Scripture. We cannot seek to make it to Victory Lane and not do our part. Jesus condemned the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, beginning at about verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, cold nor hot. I would wish you were either cold or hot, because thou art lukewarm. Lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. I will spew thee, vomit thee out of my mouth. Apathy is an enemy of the church. If we lack enthusiasm, if we lack passion, if we lacked any care and concern, who's doing the evangelizing? If we lack enthusiasm, passion, or concern, who's going to hold the sound doctrine or teaching? If we lack enthusiasm, passion, or concern, then when our kids grow up and say, well, the denomination's just like we are, right? They love Jesus like we do, right? Will your response be, well, it doesn't matter. Denominations, it doesn't matter. So if we lack that concern, that passion, that enthusiasm, then we will be lukewarm and we will be condemned. There is no in between. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Brothers, we're on the same team. And we need to encourage each other, provoke one another, challenge one another. If a brother sitting on the sideline, it's like, brother, let's go. Amen. Well, it doesn't matter. I can't do what I used to do, but you can do something. Amen. We all can do something, brethren. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. See, this is the urgency, because there are many that with whom we work and live, our neighbors, our co-workers, even family members, who see, just because they say, well, I like Jesus, I love Jesus, but you haven't obeyed the gospel. Matthew 7, verse 21 is stated earlier, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. But he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, we've taught in thy name, we've prophesied in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works. Then Jesus says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you, ye that work lawlessness, ye that work iniquity. So there's an urgency, brothers. There's an urgency because people are just taking it easy. And when I say people, let me be a little bit more invasive. It's members of the Lord's church, just taking it easy. That pit stop has become a complete stop for too many in the Lord's church. Brothers, lead our households. Brothers, stand up for the gospel. Brothers, watch this. This one may hurt. I'm doing more and more of saying this more and more. Interpersonal skills. You got to be able to deal with people that don't look like you, may come from different areas, but teach them the truth. I travel around and I'm seeing more and more. It's not just scripture. God knows we need that, but we got to be able to deal with people. Jesus was condemned for the company that he kept. He never compromised who he was and what he believed, but he was able to relate and send a message to people. I do not apologize for standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We baptized a young lady last week, and it's amazing when we can just get to know people, meet them where they are. But if when we focus on apologetics rather than apathy or complacency, we'll find a way to get that word in. Amen, brethren. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. There's no time to take a break. Amen. And if everybody's doing their job, it shouldn't be just a handful of people doing the work. In any company, you have that. And it certainly applies in the Lord's church. Brothers, the mindset in warfare is that of a constant state of readiness. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. But I love that next word, always. but sanctify, set apart the Lord God in our hearts, our top priority. He has to be preeminent in our lives. But sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. With meekness and fear. Meekness is not weakness. I love the illustration. It's like the stallion that's just arrayed in all type of royal pageantry, has the strength, has the power, has the might to, quite frankly, run you over and kill you. But his bridle will use power as needed. Preaching the gospel is not about bullying anybody into salvation. Be no need for faith if we submission versus subjugation. Submission, we acquiesce. Submission, we yield. Subjugation, you're being forced to do it. What we must do as men is have that state of readiness, mindset, perspective, deliberate, purposeful, intentional, compassionate, and caring. Amen. But also, but that state of readiness, we're sinners saved by grace. We're no better than anybody else. But thank God he cared enough for us. And thank God somebody showed us the way of the gospel. Amen. May we have that type of meekness. Because again, that state of readiness in 1 Peter 3:15, every man that asketh you, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Oh, we have the power, but may we use it wisely. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't teach what you don't know. So let us continue to study the God's word, 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Let's study to show ourselves approved unto God. Let's handle right, rightly divide the word of God. So again, when these NFL teams, I'm a sports fan, obviously, with a name like Gale Sayers, I have to be. But when NFL teams take the field, they have a playbook. Know the book, run the play. And when we score, if someone obeys the gospel, we're not applauded. There's joy in heaven. We can't teach what we don't know. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, the word of God is, it equips us. We'll be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The word of God is valuable. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. We know this, brethren. But that same Bible, that same perfect law of liberty should remind each of us today that this necessary pit stop at the 2-minute warning, this necessary pit stop today, should be a shot in the arm for each and every one of us to do better. Amen. To encourage each other. To know the book. To build our social and interpersonal skills. So when someone comes into contact with you or me, we're comfortable enough in our own skin. Just take the time to let them know that God loves them. Amen. God cares for us. We don't serve an apathetic God, so we as his children should reflect our Heavenly Father. We should not be apathetic. So the question on the floor again, brethren, will it be apathy or apologetics? Will it be apathy or apologetics? I'm reminded in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 20, when Elijah, the Bible says, so Ahab sent on, verse 20 and 21. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Will it be apathy or will it be apologetics? That's the question today. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. But I'll close with the words of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you this day to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods that which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But brethren, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Apathy or apologetics? I yield back to 23 seconds. God bless you.